You are listening to Koinonia Church, passion for God, compassion for people.
Hi, everybody. My name is Marina, and I'm going to ask you guys to please stand because we are going to enter into worship. The Lord says, "The time is coming when I will choose it as king a righteous descendant of David. That king will rule wisely and do what is right and just throughout the land. Do you not know? Have you not heard? The Lord is the everlasting God, the creator of the ends of the earth. He will not grow tired or weary, and his understanding no one can fathom. Praise the Lord, all nations. Extol him, all peoples, for great is his steadfast love toward us. And the faithfulness of the Lord endures forever. Praise the Lord."
And the angel Gabriel was sent to God from God to Nazareth to a virgin named Mary. The angel Gabriel he said to her, "Greetings, O favored one, the Lord is with you. And behold, do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. And behold, the Holy Spirit will overshadow you. The child to be born will be called Holy, the Son of God, and you shall call his name Jesus. And he will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High." Mary was betrothed to a man named Joseph. An angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, "Joseph, son of David, do not fear to take Mary as your wife, She will bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins.
Just the voices we sing.
Traveled to Bethlehem according to a decree from Caesar that all the world should be registered. And while they were there, the time came for her to give birth. And she gave birth and wrapped him in swaddling cloths and laid him in a manger, because there was no place for them in the inn. In the same region there were shepherds out in the field, and an angel of the Lord appeared to them. For unto you, saying, fear not, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And suddenly there was with the angel of a multitude of heaven hosts, praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among those with whom he is pleased. And they went to haste and found Mary and Joseph and the baby lying in a manger.
Angels, we have heard. Echoing their joyous strains.
Now, after Jesus was born, wise men followed a star from the east, saying, "Where is he who has been born King of the Jews? For we saw his star when it rose and have come to worship him." They saw the child, and they fell down and worshiped him. Then, opening their treasures, they offered him gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. But when the fullness of time came, God sent forth his son, born of a woman, born under the law, so that he might redeem those who were under the law, and that we might receive the adoption as sons.
Oh, come, all ye faithful, joyful and triumphant. Oh, come, ye are calling to Bethlehem.
Every good and perfect gift is from above. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we saw his glory. Glory as of, you know, these confidence monitors, sometimes when they don't work. Kind of interesting. That's okay. Because for unto us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder. And thank you. And that's it. I know this. And his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Ever. everlasting Father. And everybody said, Prince of Peace.
Before you're seated, why don't you turn around and say Merry Christmas to about a dozen people. Merry Christmas to everybody. Boy, the room was filled tonight. It's a sweet sense of his presence here in the house. My name is Andrew. Just get the pleasure of just being able to speak to you for a few moments. We just sang that song, Silent Night, Holy Night. Boy, how many times have you sung that song or heard that song or listened to that song over the years? It's one of those songs that we know by heart, at least those first few lines, right? Silent night, holy night, all is calm, all is bright. And it's a wonderful song with some beautiful poetry. It just has an incredible sentiment. And the picture that it paints is one that is pretty idealistic. It's not of one with babies crying. Right? It says silent night, holy night. And I just want to take a second, and it's not that I'm critiquing the lyrics of the song as much as how easy it is for us to kind of miss what's behind the lyrics of the song. I think really it's easy for us to be too sophisticated these days for the meaning behind the lyrics. It's so easy for us just to figure, yeah, you know, I've sung that before, that's a kid's song, there's no way all of those things are really true. And I think in one sense, there is a problem there. I mean, when I think about Silent Night, boy, it really wasn't very silent that night. I mean, we just heard the reading about what happened. I mean, here you have myriads of angels, which is like thousands, tens of thousands upon tens of thousands of angels appearing in the sky and yelling or singing at the top of their voice, announcing the arrival of the child, right? And so that's just the opposite of silent. And I know that there's a birth that's about to happen. You know there's a birth that's about to happen. And all of the movies, I've seen the movies of what happens when someone has a child. There's a lot of screaming. There's a lot of hot water, right? There's of course, the moment when the child finally arrives and there better be a baby crying. And if not, they're going to smack the baby to make sure that the baby is crying, right? It's just the opposite of silent. And I know, I mean, I know it's not like the movies. And I actually have four kids. I was at the birth of each and every one of them. And it's a magnificent experience, but it's certainly not silent. So the silent night is out. It wasn't very silent, right? How about the holy part? I mean, let's talk about the holy part for a second. I mean, here we are. There's a lot 2,000 years ago that happened on that night that didn't seem particularly holy. First, you know, you have the setting where Jesus is born. The setting itself is not very great. We don't get a lot of detail from the gospel narratives, but it does say that there's not room in the inn, so we know they weren't in the Holiday Inn Express that night. And there was definitely no hot cinnamon rolls the next morning. There was no free breakfast included. But the truth is that word inn the original language really probably means guest room more than it means hotel. And what it seems to be implying is more than likely it wasn't a cave that Jesus was born in. It was probably someone's house, probably a family, a relative's home that they stayed the night in. But there wasn't any room in that extra guest bedroom, because all the family had already arrived. It was already full of guests. They've actually dug up houses from this time period, from 2,000 years ago, and it was very common that what you would have is the first floor is where the animals would be kept at night, which is where they were fed in the evening and would have shelter under the roof. And then the second floor is where the family would live, which is where the guest room would have been that Mary and Joseph would have liked to have had room, but there just was none. And so they were on the bottom floor in a place that wasn't particularly holy, perhaps with enough room to do the business of having a baby. But there they were, and it's certainly better than being outside. And there's just something about having all of the family there together, and then the shepherds come in, stinky shepherds, seeking Jesus, and I imagine it just didn't feel very holy. There's something very unholy feeling about all that experience. I mean, speaking of the hot water that was required probably at the birth, I've got tonight 14 people that'll be spending the night in my house. And that's including my family. Yesterday, the hot water heater went out. I mean, you know, I know it's first world problems, but you get that many people in a house together, it's not very holy. Right? That's just part of the nature the nature of what you're dealing with. I mean, you get all the people there, you get all the animals, you get the shepherds, you get the baby and all that's going on there. There's just a lot that doesn't feel holy about it. So Silent Night is out, Holy Night is out. What are we left with at the end of the day? What are we going to be able to say about this, the song that we sing every year? And we really, man, when I sing it, I get warm and fuzzies inside. But I think really what we have to remember is that there is a way, very truly a way, that it is both silent and holy, but it's not in the way that we sort of imagine. It's in a way that we often miss. It's a way that we actually really need, and you need, and your family needs in this Christmas season. Because the fact is that when Jesus came into the world, it was not silent then, and it's not silent now. The world is, if you notice, full of constant noise. It's all around us all the time. There's the cell phones, and there's the TV screens, and there's just all of the mess and the noise of the machines and all the things that go on. C.S. Lewis, the great apologist, he actually said that the enemy is invested in building a kingdom of noise, creating so much noise that we can't hear what God would say to us in his still small voice, creating so much noise that it would distract us from what really needs to happen. And really, at the end of the day, a lot of times we allow the noise, we fill ourselves with noise because we are a little concerned or unable to deal with the noise in our own hearts and in our own minds. And so we stick in the AirPods, or we turn on the music and the radio in the car, and we turn on the screens because we're just a little bit afraid of the silence. And perhaps there's the memories, or there's guilt or self-doubt, or there's regret, there's worry, there's fear, all the things that we tend to carry with us that start to speak to us when it's silent, all the what-ifs that scream for attention in those moments. And it's in that place 2,000 years ago, into that place that Jesus then enters into the world. It's into the noise of hatred and racism and war and division, into that noise that the Father sends Jesus. And when he arrives on the scene, there's a shift in the cacophony of noise. There's a something that changes. There's a silence that enters into the whirlwind of sound. It's a silence that can't be disturbed, no matter what new invention that we come up with, no matter what screen we're going to invent tomorrow or the people are going to tell us is the next new entertainment thing. There is a kingdom that is greater than the kingdom of noise. It's in this silence. That's why the angels declared peace on earth, goodwill toward men. Peace. Jesus brings his peace that no voice can actually disturb. There's no voice that can drown out the peace that the Lord brings. And once and for all, as he comes into the world, the birth of Jesus declares that God feels a certain way about all of mankind. That God feels a certain way about you, and he feels a certain way about me. That he has decided to open the door for us because he wants relationship with us. He wants to bring peace to us. He wants to change something inside of us. And because he has forever made up that decision, we can actually receive what the angel said, peace on earth and goodwill toward men. If you're doubting or you're wondering or you're concerned, let me just assure you tonight that God has once and for all settled what he thinks about you. Let, for the last time, your doubts be silenced. Let the noise be silenced. Let the fear be silenced. Let the anxiety be silenced. This is the way the Apostle Paul said it in Galatians chapter 4. He said, at just the right time, God sent his son, born of a woman, born under the law, so that he might redeem all of us who have been kidnapped by the law. See, he decided to bring peace when we were at war, when we weren't interested, when we were doing our own thing. He proactively moved towards us. So if you're wondering tonight how God feels about you, let me just tell you, he loves you. He likes you, right? Maybe you're wondering tonight, geez, I don't know. I got in a fight with my family on the way here this evening. I'm not sure if God's real happy with me. Let all the doubts be silenced. There is a fact that God actually is fully decided about what he thinks about you. But also, beyond the silence, there's, of course, the holiness. It is that fact that Jesus, when he came into the world, it's actually his person, his decision, his invitation that changed the dynamics of the room. So it wasn't his surroundings. It wasn't certainly the animals, the cattle that were lowing and the family that was overflowing and all of the people that were making noise that was holy. It was simply the reality that Jesus himself made that night holy. See, in your house, I would imagine that sometimes things don't feel silent and sometimes things don't feel holy. And if this Christmas you want to experience the silence and the holiness that Jesus offers, it's probably not going to be found by telling everybody else to be quiet. Dads are good at that. I've tried that before. It doesn't generally work very well. It certainly doesn't bring peace into the house. It might create external silence for a moment, but external silence, if you notice, does not equal internal silence. We all know that you can look great on the outside. You can put on a good show, but there really can be total disaster going on the inside. There's an internal place in our heart and in our mind, that place that Jesus wants to deliver his peace and his life and his love and his holiness. The Apostle John says it in this way. He says, to all who received him, all who believed in his name, he gave them the right to be called the children of God. So my question for you tonight is, are you in that place? Are you living in that place of peace and silence where you understand and have received what God has offered to you? In just a moment, I'm actually going to pray for you and for all of us, and I'm going to give you a moment just to reflect and invite you perhaps to believe once again, or maybe for the very first time, in the offering that Jesus brings. That the offering that he brought 2,000 years ago and the same offering that he gives to us tonight. I mean, it may be that you're here this evening because it's family tradition. Some of you, I know that's true, right? It's my family tradition that we're here together. Maybe that mom told you, no tamales for you, son, unless you're here tonight, right? We all understand sometimes, you know, there's all kinds of different reasons. Maybe tonight you have a relationship with Jesus, and maybe tonight you don't. But wherever you are at, I just want to invite you that in this moment, as I pray, that you would just respond to that offering, that gift that Jesus offers to each one of us, the offering of silencing the kingdom of noise and bringing holiness into your life in the midst of the mess that is life. Would you just bow your head with me right now and let's do that together? And perhaps it's a matter of you just doing some business with the Lord right now. Perhaps you've been away from him for some time and you know he's calling you back. Perhaps you've never made a decision for Christ and this is a traditional thing for you and with your family, but you're just in a place where, you know, I'm ready to make this my own. Wherever you're at today, Lord, we just come before you. We want to do business with heaven. We need your peace. We need you to silence the noise inside of us. We need you to bring a different kind of life that flows through us. And Lord, I know that in every home there is a mess, in every home there is noise, in every home there is challenge. And I'm just praying right now, God, that as we reach out to you, that into that mess you would bring your joy, your peace, and your goodness. Lord, we reach out to you because we know that you are the source of truth. And Lord, even for those that are doubting tonight, I would just invite you, just reach out right now. Say, Lord, if you are even real, would you please come and would you begin to shift things inside of me? Would you visit, Lord, every home, we pray? Would you be real and alive? Would you bring your life and would you bring your peace? And Lord, would you silence the voice of doubt, of fear, of anxiety, of worry? Would you silence the voice of the past? Would you silence the voice that says we're not good enough? Lord, we just right now receive all of your goodness, not because we deserve it, but because you have decided that we're worth it. And we thank you for that tonight in Jesus' name. Everybody said, amen.
to break the curse. The Father's heart revealed to us. Oh, what a joyous thing. Oh, what a joyous thing. Oh, come let us adore Him. Oh, come let us adore Him. Christ the Lord. And for He alone is worthy. For He alone is worthy. Behold the Lamb of righteousness. Let every heart and tongue confess. Let all the earth rejoice. Let all the earth rejoice. There may be no accusing voice. His resurrection power blessed. Triumph in Jesus' name. Triumph in Jesus' name. Oh, come let us adore Him. Oh, come let us adore Him. Christ the Lord, He alone. For He alone is worthy. For He alone is worthy.
Hallelujah. Let's give the Lord just a little bit more right now. If you're bold enough, let's just stand up, because God is good, and he is good all the time. And this song has just brought me into a deeper place of worship. Are you with me right now? So let's just, for just 10 seconds, let's just give the Lord our highest praise. Let's just give the Lord our highest praise.
Thank you, God.
God is so good, and he's in the house, and we're about to do the candle lighting part of the service. And I don't know about y'all, but for me, it's the lights, right? When it comes to Christmas, I cannot get enough of the lights. We actually have a pre-lit tree in my house. I don't know if it has like 800 lights or so. They say I got like the extra, extra lit one. And then I bought around 1,200 extra, and my husband always rolls his eyes at me, but I add those lights too, because it's all about the lights. There's something different about the twinkle, the sparkle, the reflection during the season. And what I love about this service is because during this candle lighting portion, while it's going to look beautiful in the room, okay, it's about to be look like supremely gorgeous in here. It is a moment to reflect upon the fact that we are called to be the light of the world. All that Pastor Andrew just led us in considering about how God came to make room to bring holiness, to bring peace to your life. We're called to be a reflection of that wherever we are. And I know in my house, I have an old house, and some of my lights, when I turn it on, they flicker, okay? And some of you may have felt this past year that your light has been like a flicker. It hasn't been consistent. And I just want to challenge you during this time. It's time to re-up the light, to turn it back on, to plug it in a way where we can be consistent with our light. It's not just a witness on Sunday mornings or a witness when we know people are watching, but we stay a light of the world 100% of the year. That's the call. And so what we're going to do right now is I'm going to invite some folk up onto the stage who maybe this has been your year of turning that light on for the first time. So if this has been your year of coming to Jesus, or this has been your year of being baptized, it's a tradition that we hold to allow those who have come to Christ during the year or have been baptized during the year to be the first ones to light the candles. So if that's you, in just a second, I'm going to invite you in. So consider, like, is that me? I don't know. Is it 2021? You know, like, got to do the bath. Was that you this year? Were you baptized or did you come to Jesus? I'm going to invite my son Jeremiah to come up, and we're going to demonstrate how to light the candles. Because it's really crucial when you're dealing with fire and this many people and a lot of hair product. I doubled up today, so I don't want anybody to have any accidents. And so what we're going to do is when the candle is lit, the person who has the candle lit first holds steady. And the person who's unlit, let me just light mine so I can give a true demonstration. The person who is unlit is going to do the swoop, okay? So if you are the unlit candle holder, you swoop in just like this. And then your candle will be lit. And you avoid pouring wax all over. Oh, he snatched up my fire. I didn't know it was possible, but praise the Lord. Now I'm going to have to swoop in on him in just a second. But the reason why we do this tradition, I was thinking about it today, the reason why we're going to invite all of those who are new to the faith or recently baptized is because when you light a match, in the beginning, like that first 2 seconds of that latch being lit, it is super bright. Right? And then it kind of calms down. And there's something about the season of when you're first ignited in Christ that's worthy of honor, that's worthy of recognition. And so if that's you today, I just want to invite you up. I know it might be a little bit scary, but I want to invite you up and let us honor you and let us celebrate the decision you made this year to come to Jesus or to be baptized. So come on up. I want you to come all the way up to the stage. And I'm going to invite Pastor Andrew up because when you have a pyro as a pastor, that means we don't do no regular candle lighting. He brings extra special tools. Look at all these friends. Come on up, all the way 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 up. That's not the real. That was a test. That's not the real one. And so look at, can we just pause and congratulate all of these people who have said yes to Jesus or yes to baptism this year? Yes! And so what's going to happen is, I know some of you guys might have some lighters in your pocket. Don't cheat and light in the middle. What we're going to do is these folks are going to have their candles lit, and they're going to start from the front rows, and then you're just going to turn around and allow the person behind you to swoop in, and we're going to watch the flame, the light, spread all the way to the back, and then we're going to sing, and it's just going to be the most magical thing in the world. Here we go.
Thanks for listening. Hope you enjoyed the message, and we hope to see you on a Sunday at 9 or 11 a.m. Visit us online at kchamford.com, and if you want to support our ministry, click Give. Koinonia Church, passion for God, compassion for people.